And we're now joined with Kevin Bowen from 1070 The Fan. How are you doing this morning, Kevin?
Doing great, guys. Happy Wednesday.
It is a Wednesday. It's hump day, almost halfway to the end of the week.
It is. And happy Wednesday makes it sound so much better.
That's right. All right, Kevin. When you look at the current Colts roster, is there anyone that necessarily is not like a big name that you think can make a positive impact on the roster this season? Not like a T.Y. Hilton, who obviously is going to make an impact, but anybody who was picked up over the offseason or drafted by the Colts that you think is going to make a positive impact this season for the Colts?
Well, actually, there's a guy that was on the roster last year, or for the last two seasons, that I feel like is maybe a little bit under the radar, and that's Chester Rogers, a wideout that was undrafted out of Grambling a couple of years ago, has, you know, seen some spot action duty in his first couple seasons. But when you look at Dante Moncrief exiting, you look at Kamar Aiken exiting free agency, and the Colts really didn't make any moves in free agency significantly at the receiver position, signed Ryan Grant, and then draft-wise, they didn't take a wideout until round five. There are reps to be had, and I know that Chester Rogers kind of retooled his body in the offseason going into his third NFL season. And again, he might not be a household name, but I think fantasy football owners might want to keep an eye on him on the offensive side of the ball. On the defensive side, I mean, no one really stands out. You weren't too significant over there in the offseason with what you did in free agency or the draft. I mean, Darius Leonard, the second-round pick out of South Carolina State, he's an intriguing name just because he has some very impressive athletic measurables. But at the same time, he played in the football subdivision level, was not playing at a very high level in college. So how does he translate to the NFL where you took him 36th overall? That's a very high pick to take a guy that isn't playing major college football. So those are a couple names that kind of pop into my head as intriguing for the Colts here in 2018.
Do you believe in the statement that a lot of people are saying that the Colts' offensive line this year could be one of the best in the NFL?
Well, one of the best in the NFL, I think it's a little premature to say that. I think it's certainly the most talented line that Andrew Luck has ever played behind. Now, the bar is pretty low in that, but, I mean, you look at the resources the Colts have invested into that offensive line, it's really unlike any other in the NFL. You know, I was saying this on my podcast yesterday. You have Anthony Costanzo at left tackle. He was picked number 22 back in 2011. You have Quentin Nelson, who went number 6 overall this past year at left guard. You have Ryan Kelly at center, who went 18th overall a couple years ago. You have Braden Smith at right guard, the rookie who's expected to be the starter. He went 37 overall this past season. So those are four of your five starting offensive linemen that have been taken in the top 40 picks of their respective drafts. That is a lot of resources, a lot of draft capital that teams don't frequently invest all in like that on the offensive line. Now, having said that, you still got to get these guys to mesh together. You still are potentially starting two rookie guards. You know, they are going to be growing pains in one of the better divisions in all of football, but you finally made a committed investment into your biggest issue. The offensive line was broken over the past few years. And now you have some draft capital, you have some resources in place, and we'll just see how quickly that group can mesh together.
Mr. Bowen, we definitely saw the Colts address offensive line and several other issues in the draft, but one issue we didn't see them address was cornerback position. We saw Rashawn Melvin leaving free agency. How do you think the Colts are going to address that cornerback hole this season?
Yeah, you know, that's a good one. I always thought that in today's NFL, you just draft a corner every draft. Like, it's such a pass-happy league. If you don't have enough corners, you kind of need corners like you need bullpen pitchers in baseball. You just, sooner or later, you're going to rely on the depth of that position. Any nick and bruise at corner is really exaggerated with how important it is, you know, for those guys to be at peak health. And I thought with 11 picks, the Colts would take at least one corner. But they are investing a lot into those young guys, into Quincy Wilson, into Nate Hairston, you know, Pierre DeSeer, who they did bring back. They didn't re-sign Rashawn Melvin, as you mentioned. But Pierre DeSeer, who I thought had some nice flashes last year, he still hasn't been healthy for an entire season. So It's a little bit unknown. I know it's, you know, change of defense is going to be playing a little bit more zone looks, but you have some unproven depth at corner. I like a few of the top end corners, but they still have to prove themselves. Like I said, Desir hasn't been healthy for, you know, 4 or 5 seasons in the league. Quincy Wilson, you know, all the talent in the world, such a mystery why he didn't play more last season. He's only played a handful of games. So those are your two expected starters, you know, going into OTA starting here next week. But yeah, that was one of the couple puzzling things I had draft wise for the Colts.
Looking ahead to the upcoming season here, and Kevin Bowen joins us. What do you consider for the Colts to have a quote good season? What do the Colts have to do to get the fans kind of, you know, feeling good about the team? Do they have to win the division? Do they have to make the playoffs? Do they have to go better than 500? Like, what is your opinion? Why? How do they make the fans happy this season, I guess you could say?
Oh, boy, you're coming with a loaded question there. That's a good one. Tough one. You know, first and foremost, Andrew Luck has to be healthy. I don't care what the win-loss record looks like. A healthy Andrew Luck is the only way to make this fan base truly feel good, content, pleased, happy, whatever you want to use to describe this 2018 season. You need to get him healthy. You need to get him back on track. You know, winning the division, making the playoffs, that to me is way, way far down the line. This is the best division in football, in my opinion. This isn't the AFC South you guys were used to, maybe early years of high school, junior high, or I was used to, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. This is one of the best divisions in football. And it's not going to be you just fall out of bed and win 16 in a row in the AFC South like the Colts did, you know, from 2012 to 2015. So when I look at this season, I look at a couple things. Like I said, the health of Andrew Luck is paramount. Developing the young talent and getting those rookies on the field and having them show some promise. You have to hit on a lot of those draft picks is vital. As far as wins and losses, you know, I think you could see promise in a 7-win season, an 8-win season. I don't think it has to be, you know, 10, 11. You're definitely making the playoffs. That is a lot to ask for this team. You know, Chris Ballard touched on it and Jim Mercer touched on it. This is a multi-year rebuild. Sure, the Rams have everyone thinking that, you know, you can do this quickly, but the Rams also had Aaron Donald and Robert Quinn and a young quarterback that was healthy. I think that the quick fix is probably not there in terms of a playoff team, but I think the Colts have a schedule that's manageable enough to win, you know, 7 or 8 games if Andrew Luck is healthy and these young guys do develop, you know, quicker than normal.
Are we going to see Andrew Luck throwing next week at the beginning of OTAs, or do you think they'll kind of hold that off and keep that from the public for a while?
I think they're going to hold it off a little bit longer. I fully expect Jacoby Brissett to be under center when OTAs begin on Tuesday. And honestly, if you're going to make me, you know, pick right now, I'm not sure we see Andrew Luck in the next month. 3 weeks of OTAs and then a mandatory minicamp June 12th through the 14th. So I feel like with Luck, maybe he'll do some throwing behind the scenes, but in a public setting in front of the media, I would be a little bit surprised at this point if he does it here in the next couple of weeks. And now it's going to make for a very condensed training camp. It's something I wrote on 1070thefan.com the other day. Just, you know, you've shrunk the window of any hiccups that could potentially happen. And I think that that's something that we need to look closer at. Like, Andrew Luck is not only coming back from a serious shoulder injury where he's thrown it, you know, 4 practices in the last 19 months, but he's also getting involved with the new defense. He's getting involved with, getting involved with the new offense and certainly some new personnel as well. But yeah, right now I do not expect Andrew Luck to be throwing at OTAs.
Kevin Bowen joins us. Let's shift gears to talk to Pacers just for a minute. Obviously, they exceeded expectations this season, making the playoffs, and then they took LeBron James to a 7-game first-round series. Ultimately, they lost to LeBron, but what do you expect the Pacers to do, make any big adjustments this offseason in terms of their roster?
Nothing too substantial. Now, they are in a position to make a big move. They have resources really like no other in the NBA in terms of playoff teams. They're one of the handful of teams in the league that have some cap room. here in 2018, and not many playoff teams are in that group at all. So they have the flexibility to explore, you know, trade options. That's something team president Kevin Pritchard has mentioned. He expects a much more of a trade market this year versus a free agency market when 2019 summer, next summer, that's when really some big names hit the open market. But what I think this team and this staff is battling internally is, you know, weighing chemistry versus weighing the need to add talent and all of that. And chemistry was a huge reason why this team exceeded expectations and won 48 games. Having said that, chemistry is only going to take you so far. And look at Boston right now. They're up 2-0, and they don't have their two best players. And they're going to get better. Philadelphia is going to get better. You know, Philly has a top-10 pick. Cleveland has a top-10 pick. So if LeBron stays there and they can make some moves, you know, they're, of course, going to be a top-4 team in the East. So I think the Pacers have to make a move or two. I'm just not sure how substantial that'll be because they don't want to fracture that chemistry, and they don't want to stunt the growth of Miles Turner or DeMontis Sabonis. I mean, those are two young guys that they feel like can continue to grow, and if you bring in a bigger name, that can potentially, you know, hurt the development of those two young guys.
And Victor Oladipo has obviously established himself as, like, the big player here on the team, and if you brought in, like, another big name to the Pacers team, do you think that player would have a problem with being second to Victor Oladipo?
Very well, good. And that is a good point. I mean, that's what Kevin Pritchard has to weigh. This is Victor's team. Like, this is his locker room. And it's a point I've made a couple times here over the past week. You know, when Chris Ballard drafted Quentin Nelson, number 6 overall, he's not only getting an incredible talent, he was getting one of the best workers that Notre Dame has seen in quite some time, and a player that is going to make everyone come to his level in terms of work ethic and preparation and all of that. That's what Victor Oladipo gives the Pacers. Yeah, I think I said it yesterday. He has the talent of a McDonald's All-American, yet he has the work ethic of a walk-on. And that's rare, and that's it's so unique to find in today's NBA, but it's great for the Pacers. So any move you make, you have to think about Victor, and you have to think about this locker room and how it's going to, you know, hurt things. You know, a guy like Al Horford, you know, yes, he's getting up there in age, but he would be the perfect temperament type of player to add to this locker room. I'm just using him as an example from a, you know, kind of a work ethic standpoint and the type of guy that's just accepting of his role. That is the sort of character player that you need. So that's kind of how I view things heading into the off season. It's why, you know, some people said, well, you know, what about Kawhi Leonard? I'm all for it. I think Kawhi would be able to mesh with this group if healthy. Certainly you'd have to give up a lot to obtain him, but that's kind of how I view things in this off season.
All right, Kevin. Hey, thanks for joining the show this morning. It was a pleasure to talk to you this morning, Kevin.
Anytime, guys. Enjoy the end of the year.
All right. Kevin Bowen joins us on the WBDG hotline, or joined us, I guess. He was.